systems where, especially where we're looking at a complex network or a repairable system with high availability demands, the reliability block diagram is too simplistic and doesn't really get to what we really need to know. In other systems, we're looking at the multiple failure mechanisms. And in either case, Markov models or a similar approach called probabilistic risk assessment allows us to do this modeling in more detail. Now, I took a course back in my statistics days called probabilistic risk assessment, and it was really my first introduction to Bayesian statistics and really relied heavily on probability and type calculations, conditional probabilities in particular. And it pretty much overwhelmed me. It's a big topic. So this section is really just going to talk about some awareness of these other tools. And depending on your circumstance, you're more than likely either have some specialist working in these areas, that's their full-time occupation is working these models, or you just need to be familiar with it for the exam. So I'm going to err on the side of the second one. And hopefully, if you're not familiar with these models, this will give you a concept of what they're about and be able to address or find the references you need to answer questions about it. So Markov analysis, in the most simplistic terms, is dealing with different states of the equipment. And state being it's either operating or it's down, it's not operating, or it's under repair. And it could also be in some state of degradation. It could be in some alternate performance, maybe operating at 90% of capacity, for example. But basically, we calculate a probability, and this would be something like a failure rate. What's the probability of it going from a working or up condition to down? And then once we get there, what's the probability of repair? And then the repair being effective and taking it back into a system where we then, or I should back up one right here. And this may take us back to operating, or it may take us to degrading. But each of these jumps has a probability of it occurring. And there's variations of this where it may be multiple steps and may have degradation paths, or it may have various other contingencies modeled within the system. These Markov models can get very complex, very, very quick. So if you've got a relatively simple system, a basic model like this can, even then, can balloon into all the variations and all of the data that needs to be collected for it. It is way more accurate in describing a complex repairable system than a block diagram is. And it allows you and your team to understand all of the same things that most of us dealing with simpler products get out of a reliability block diagram, where to prioritize, where to look for improvements, how to anticipate what data we need to collect and compare our performance versus what the expectations were, and all of those kinds of benefits. But the basic idea here is that I'm looking at a single piece of equipment, and it may have different states. It may be operating, it may not be operating, it may be under active repair, or you can define other states. So that's the idea of a Markov analysis, and it allows us to aggregate these different probabilities in order to come up with a system reliability figure of merit. More often, a system availability is what we're interested in. The assumptions, though, is that in the simpler models, is that the failure rates, those jumps, basically, are constant over time. Now, with the advent of more computerized ways of modeling these things, that constraint has been lifted because we can be a factor of time and for the age of particular parts of our system. It also was used to assume homogeneous, meaning it was a fairly uniform set of probabilities we're dealing with. But that, again, is through developments in the last 10, 15 years, has really been improved on, so you can model very complex systems. And the final calculation basically is a steady state behavior. So it's over the long term. It's an ongoing process. And this works for complex systems much more accurately than a reliability block diagram, but it is an area of constant improvement in the modeling techniques. Now, a probabilistic risk assessment is really looking at, or a Markov analysis is looking at multiple states for the different parts of your system. So A might be that my top level system function and probability. Now it has a small chance of failing. One part of that component A or that system A could fail with about a 10% chance of failing. And if it fails, I have a 70% chance of repairing it and my system's back up and running. But I also have a 30% chance it's going to take more time to, say, order parts. And even that ordering parts may have a probability of being the wrong part, having to do that again, hence delaying the repair even further. But each of these paths has a story that talks to what's the probability of the system operating. So even if I am operating off of this, say, first week of operation, I still have that 10% chance of failing and a 70% chance of the product getting repaired. And that calculates out at 0.9 times 0.1 times 0.7 is 0.63. Now across the bottom here, if you do this right, it will you can add them all up and it should equal 1. And so that's how you know if you built the model correctly. Across any sequence here, the tally is 1. And it's one of the elements that we can check with this probabilistic risk assessment. The bottom line is that I can look at the system being available, 0.07 or 0.72 plus 0.063 plus 0.063 plus 0.24. And that allows us to figure out, given our configuration and, say, our repair structure, what's the chance of the system being operational versus down. We can get at availability that way. So this only has three states, and it's really only looking at a couple of scenarios. So it can get very complicated very quick in practice. And a lot of the computer-aided tools allow us to approach these problems. So one of the things with these, when I first learned about probabilistic risk assessment, it was using examples of a nuclear power plant or a chemical plant or an aircraft in flight, for example, where a failure was deemed catastrophic and almost always had a significant probability of failure, if they had a failure, of causing loss of life. But one of the things that goes into these models is, well, how much money do you spend to keep a nuclear power plant from melting down? And there's a limit, of course. It actually seems to be set fairly high because the power plants are very, very expensive to build, design and build. But it's based on what's the value of a human life. And that may vary depending on your industry and the amount of risk that's susceptible. But at some point, you're going to, even in simple products, that may enter your equations as to what expense do you go to make it more reliable or more available. So depending on your product, this may or may not be a relevant question, but you may change it to what's the value of a product that works, would be another way to phrase this for a wider market. In the next section, we'll take a look at another technique of dealing with reliability modeling called Monte Carlo.